Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing quality products that your animals deserve at a value that you can appreciate. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro. Nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, July 26th. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, showing poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website. That's chickenwhisperer.com. Chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, the Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear like hats and t-shirts, mouse pads, coffee mugs, you name it. We've got it at chickenwhisperer.com. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button that automatically shows on our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes the chat room automatically opens up by itself. Just scroll down a little bit and there we are. But if not, click on that Chat Now button. Take a moment to register with Blog Talk Radio. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the live chicken chat room, have a great time, talk with others about backyard poultry, showing poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Hey, while you're there at Blog Talk Radio, I also want to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at MountHealthy.com. That's MTHealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We hope you had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And now it is Monday. We're starting another brand new week together. And I'm so glad that you've decided to start your week with Pat and I. Pat, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, Whisper, it's good to be on the show. Boy, last week was something, wasn't it? We had our county fair was last week, and honest to goodness, in the exhibition area, it was in the triple digits, even with all those huge animal fans going. I've never seen such a group sauna as what the county fair was this year. When's your fair coming up?
Our fair is in October, and it's going to be down in Perry, Georgia, right smack dab, really, in middle Georgia. So it's a fair, I guess, for everybody to get there, no pun intended. But our state fair will be in October. I do plan on attending, and hopefully we'll have a good turnout for people who want to show their poultry. There's always a big turnout with the cattle and the pigs and the goats and things like that. And there are always, I guess, there are a few poultry fans down there, but we're hoping that maybe we can get down there at least over the weekend and broadcast the radio show live from there. It's what we're looking forward to doing.
Yeah, oh, that's your state fair, you said, or your county fair?
That'll be the state fair, actually.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To be honest, I'm going to be very honest. I don't know if Fulton County here, which incorporates kind of the city of Atlanta, I don't know if we have a county fair here. Maybe I'll have to contact my local state ag person here, the extension agent, and see if Fulton County actually has a county fair. I'm not really sure, but there's one, the state fair down in Perry, we definitely hope they'd be going to that one in October. But it is fair season. I was talking to our guest today. We'll bring on a little bit later, president of the American Poultry Association, Sam Brush, and he was talking about even now, especially out west, there's a lot of fairs that are going on, state fairs, county fairs, and they're going to go through October, November, and so people are already starting to pull out those show birds and taking them to the fair and starting to show them and trying to get those blue ribbons and those plaques and those trophies.
Yeah, that's right. And I got to tell you, I'm a schmooze for state fairs. Remember that movie, A State Fair? Yeah, our state fair is a great state fair about Texas, where dollars to donuts. I just love that show. And every time I go to a state fair, it's just, I don't know, it just brings me back home. back in Indiana. Of course, we have it in September, I think it is, and I was in the marching band, so they have a marching band contest every year. And that was always, I think that helped me with my coordination, because to play a saxophone and try to march at the same time was a huge, huge challenge for me. So anyway, hey, I've got a question for our listeners and a question for you too, Whisper. The D.C. Chickeneers, the D.C. Metro Group, they're still working on getting chickens available in our nation's capital, and one of the council people who is a fan, apparently one of their few supporters up there, is saying that they want to have the neighbor consent clause in there, and I was trying to think, I don't know of a single town or city that includes that in their ordinance. Do you or do any of our listeners? And if they do, would they please email me? Because I'd like to start compiling a list of that.
Right.
I don't know of a single one. Do you?
There's not very many. There's a few. One just passed it last week. We had it on chickens in the news. Pardon me. And I was telling everybody about how we're.
That was ridiculous. That wasn't an ordinance. That was a roadblock. The one with the three, they're going to issue three permits.
Right,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, that one is off the scale. It's a joke. That doesn't count. But at least they're talking about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know of any others besides that one?
Not off the top of my head, no. Nope. We'll have
yeah,
to go back and take a look and see. And, of course, obviously, that's, of course, there in the national capital. It seems like if they even are considering doing that, which seems to be unconstitutional, again, I would just try to keep everything relative and keep everything in perspective. You know, like what I tell folks, do you need a permit? Do you need to get your neighbor's permission to have kids? Do you need your neighbor's permission to have a Harley that's loud? Do you need a dog? Do you have to get their permission to have a cat or to you know, whatever the case may be? Why are you – is this selective enforcement? Are you being prejudiced towards chickens?
That's exactly the fear thing.
Yes.
They just don't know.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
But anyway, okay. Well, that's one thing to bring the awareness of it, because they asked me, do I know of any other city that has that? And I said, no. Why would they? But maybe it is somewhere in some laws. So the response is basically, you don't know off the top of your head. I've never heard of one except that ridiculous one with the three permits. And so any of the listeners, if you know of any, please email me. It's pat@goodearthpublications.com. GoodEarth, GoodEarth, and then publications, plural, .com. And I'll go ahead and post it on the chat room here.
Okay,
well, that's
very good.
That's all I had. I was sort of dumbfounded when they brought that up again from the D.C. area. So I thought, well, let's address it here. The other thing that I'm going to look into this afternoon or tomorrow, Whisper, is checking with the Legal Defense Fund to see if there are any lawyers that would be interested in sort of helping to defend the local foods movement and, of course, the chickens' role in that movement. So anything I find up there, I'll be glad to share with everybody. But I would think if that kind of a thing comes up as part of the law, that would be a civil liberties issue and something that they might help contribute to not promote anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please let us know, and that'd be great if we could find an attorney. Maybe, you know, maybe eventually as this grows, we find one or two in every state that's willing to, who already keeps chickens, who already is on board, who doesn't have to research. They know what's going on, and they're willing to help out people in their state that are trying to fight their counties and cities and homeowners associations.
But you know the beautiful thing of it, though, Whisper, is that it's just subsiding. I mean, with over 500 cities and towns now allowing chickens for city residents, I think the fear is starting to subside, and people are realizing, oh, New York doesn't have a problem. Well, Madison, Wisconsin, they're bringing their community together. And look down there at Austin, Texas. You know, they had a coup de tour this year that was all the rage. So I think as the animal husbandry skills go up and as the fear goes down, we're not going to need any lawyers. We just need the poultry pioneers. So anyway, that's my two cents worth, whatever that's worth.
No, that's perfectly fine. No, thank you very much for that. Hopefully that'll pan out, and keep us posted on how things are going up there in Washington, D.C., because that would be a big win nationwide.
Yes. And another up-to-date news is from Margie Stansel. You know, they had a court case. We were up there. Oprah Winfrey went as an expert witness to say that chickens are pets and not livestock, and we had a great time up there. I even hosted a show from the Maryland County Courthouse. But anyway, there has been no decision made yet. So the judge is the Stansels still have their chickens. They still don't know if they're legal or not, but absolutely nothing has happened. So we'll see what goes on with that as it comes down. But no news is good news when it comes to them being able to keep their chickens up there.
Sure. I've got also related to that, I know all of our regular listeners remember, I think she's been on the show two or three times, our wonderful friend Pam Davis. If you remember Pam Davis, mm-hmm. She was having a really hard time with her neighbors. It came down to just plain old harassment. They called every possible avenue they could to try to get Pam to get rid of her chickens, and finally they ended up, I think, trying to sue her criminally and civilly and for harassment, the whole nine yards. Well, Pam is going to be back on our show a week from tomorrow telling mm-hmm. us all about it. Her court case is over, and ready for this? She won. The judge found in
Hallelujah.
Favor of her, absolutely. So this should be over and complete. It's lasted over a year now. All the harassment, she had a great attorney that went in and helped her out, and basically, from what I understand, kind of made a mockery of the people who were giving her such a hard time and her neighbors. But I think finally this may have come to a head and is over now, thanks to the judge and her attorney and actually common sense when it comes down to it. So Pam Davis, and we love her. She's so awesome. She's been on the show several times. She is a hoot. And
she's an awesome, absolutely awesome.
She'll be back on next Tuesday to tell us about the court case, how hopefully this wraps everything up, how she won the court case, judge and all, the ruling, the whole nine yards, and we'll congratulate her. So that'll be a week from tomorrow. Pam Davis will tell us about her win because that's been ongoing on for well over a year. It is now time for our Chickens in the News segment. Today's Chickens in the News segment is sponsored by this week's Chicken Whisper approved items. This week's Chicken Whisper approved item is the GQF Model 1588 Genesis Hovibator Incubator. Personally own two of these incubators and love everything about them. And so if you're in the market for a new incubator, your search is over. Just go to gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com. Take a look at this week's Chicken Whisper approved item, the GQF Model 1588 Genesis Hovibator. Got some great news. This is not really chickens in the news, but it is because it talks about our wonderful guest that's going to be on the show tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss this show tomorrow. Let me scroll down here just for a second. I saw this in the news yesterday, immediately got on the horn, and had my personal assistant, Christina Duncan, call this young boy's parents, and they have agreed to come on the show tomorrow. So, yes, this is Chickens in the News because I'm going to read you this article, but this will be our guest tomorrow. I'm so excited. Here's this comes to us from, let's see, the Daily Telegram in Adrian, Michigan. And the title of the story is 12-year-old petitions for change to Hudson City Ordinance on Poultry. So 12-year-old petitions for change to Hudson City Ordinance on Poultry. And Hudson, Michigan, Matthew Etchenberg of Hudson wants to join 4-H and raise chickens in the backyard of his Lincoln Street home for a project. But when he found out live poultry are not permitted within the city limits, he decided to see if he could change that. Etchenberg, 12, asked the Hudson City Council Tuesday to consider changing the ordinance to permit him to keep up to 4 female chickens or hens in an enclosed pen, not only for his 4-H project, but to share eggs with his family and his neighbors. Etchenberg, who said he wants to be an organic farmer as an adult, said being allowed to keep chickens would give him the opportunity beyond an animal project for next year's fair. In 4-H, I would be required to keep a record of how I care for the chickens, including what I feed them, Etchenberg said. I could also use this experience to qualify for scholarship programs for college. And so we're going to welcome Matthew Etchenberg, 12-year-old, who's actually become quite the activist in his town to try to get the ordinance changed so he can keep poultry, so he can join 4-H. So this is awesome. He's going to be joining us tomorrow live on the radio show, and so you're not going to want to miss the show tomorrow. He's going to be live with us, and he's already attended a meeting. I believe he's got a meeting to attend tonight, so he's going to tell us about, he's got a whole packet that he passes out when he goes to these meetings, apparently. And so Matthew will be joining us tomorrow. 12-year-old petitions for change to the city ordinance on poultry in his town. So you're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. It's going to be a hoot. We're going to have a good time, and I think we can all learn something from this 12-year-old boy that's trying to change the laws in his town. The other chickens in the news is not so pleasant. Let me scroll up here a little bit. You can see all of these at our Facebook page. Join us on Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com and search for The Chicken Whisperer. In fact, you can go there to facebook.com/The Chicken Whisperer. This next bit of news comes to us from Mail Online. Mail Online. And unfortunately, this is not a very happy story. Got tons and tons of comments on our Facebook page about it, many of them very negative, as you'll hear in a moment. But the headline is, teenage boys convicted of setting fire to live chickens that kept as pets at a primary school. So, yep, you heard that. You heard that correct. Yep, teenage boys convicted of setting fire to live chickens kept as pets at a primary school. Three teenage boys have been convicted for setting fire to live chickens, which are being kept as pets at a primary school. The trio used a flammable liquid to ignite the two birds, one of which died instantly, while the second died later from its injuries. John Elwood, prosecuting on behalf of the RSPCA, told Teenside Youth Court that the chickens were being cared for at St. Peter's Primary School in Brolton, Teesside. And it says, on August 25th last year, the teens aged 15, 15, and 13 were spotted a short time later when police officers saw them looking suspicious. When officers spoke to the teens, they noted a smell of petrol or lighter fluid. The grim discovery was made by the school caretaker the next morning. All three teenagers, of whom are 16 and the other 14, pleaded not guilty to causing unnecessary suffering to an animal, but were found guilty following a trial. So apparently they pleaded not guilty of causing unnecessary suffering to an animal. Now, how can you set an animal on fire and then plead not guilty to causing unnecessary suffering to an animal? But they were found guilty following a trial. David Ward, defending one of the 16-year-olds, said his client had grown up since the attack. Okay, so it's been about a year, and now his client has grown up. So he's grown up. It still doesn't change the fact that he caught a chicken on fire a year ago. What difference does that make? Mr. Ward said he's had it hanging over his head for 11 months. That in itself has been a significant awakener for him. Sarah Price defended the other two teens, said of her oldest client, he now accepts he has part and partial of this incident. Oh, he was a part and partial of this incident. He was present at the time, but he still maintains he took no action in the harming of the chickens, but he accepts that he was present and did nothing to prevent the harm. So there we go. You can read the whole story. It's not much longer than that. But I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I never participated in any of these crazy antics. Of course I did some crazy things that I regret, even yesterday. That's just being a human. But I can't imagine doing anything like this. And you can read some of the comments. I won't go into detail, but there already have been 27 comments on our Facebook page about this. Some ask where the parents were. We've been down that road on the show. Some say, well, this just, is a preemptive of something happening as when they get to an adult. Everybody's little 2 cents worth in their opinions on this, but very sad story. And we've seen a couple of these stories here in the last couple of weeks. So that's our chickens in the news for today, sponsored by our Chicken Whisper approved item, the GQF model 1588 Hovibator Genesis incubator, and you can see that at gqfradio.com. So we're going to go ahead and go to a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to welcome today's guest. the president of the American Poultry Association, Sam Brush. So you're not going to want to miss this interview, folks. We're going to be asking Sam probably the top 10 questions a novice would ask if they're wanting to get into showing poultry. You wake up Saturday morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go up to the chicken show and see what it's all about. I'm interested in showing chickens. The top 10 questions that they may have, we're going to ask Sam Brush, president of the American Poultry Association. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Monday, July 26th, and I believe that makes it the fourth Monday of the last Monday of July, which means today's featured guest is the president of the American Poultry Association, Sam Brush. Sam, welcome back to the show. Always glad to have you.
Well, thank you, Andy. It's good to be back here.
Hope you had a great
welcome,
weekend.
Welcome, Sam. Hey, Sam, welcome to the show. It's Pat here.
Oh, thank you, Pat.
Yeah, good to hear you again.
Okay, today we thought that we would just kind of start off. Show season is essentially here for a lot of the county and state fairs, but then we're going to start getting into the next couple of months. Shows all across the country, ABA and APA sanctioned shows and club shows and everything else. So as we get in, since our next show won't be in about a month, towards the end of August, we decided to come up with, Pat has a few questions, I've got a few questions that, you know, let's say we just all of a sudden wake up one day, We've been keeping backyard poultry for a while, and we're thinking, you know, I'm going to go visit a show. And then they go to a show, and they get interested in it, and they love it, and they're like, you know, I think I've got some beautiful birds, just like the next guy. I think I may, you know, start doing this as a hobby and meet some new folks and learn more about poultry. So I guess I'll start off with my very first question. Which they may be interested in, especially when they start doing research. We'll just say for now that they already and we'll talk about where to find out where the shows are at and publications and websites and things. But my first question for you, Sam, is do I have to be a member of, say, the APA, American Poultry Association, or the ABA, American Bantam Association, to actually show my poultry? Do I need to go ahead and join up? I know it's a great idea to join both, and because there's all kinds of benefits, but do I have to join to actually take my bird to a show and show it, whether it's an ABA, APA-sanctioned show or not? Do I have to be a member of either one of those organizations or clubs?
No, Andy, you really don't. And that's just, you know, an artifact from, you know, there are all these shows, different shows across the country, fairs and specialty shows. Some of the organizations putting those on are members of either the ABA or APA, and some of them aren't. And, you know, by virtue of their being a member themselves, they host sanctioned shows. But there's, as far as I know, there's no requirement to show at any show or fair that you know, you have to be a member of some other organization, you know, just to enter. You know, if you pay your entry fee and go and participate, you know, they're welcome to do that. And now you wouldn't be eligible for the awards and other benefits that come from being a member of, say, the APA. But, you know, most of those shows, they have other awards and premiums and so forth of their own, ribbons and everything that you could compete for. And,
okay.
That doesn't require anything.
And Kelly here in Georgia in the chat room stated that I think she found out that if you wanted to participate in the point system, because there's many advantages of that as far as becoming master breeder and whatnot for both ABA and APA, if you want to participate in the point system, not unlike, I guess, NASCAR has a point system, would become a member to start participating in that point system based on, and we'll talk about that in a moment. So you would have to join if you wanted to participate in the point system that they have established.
That's right. Now, when an APA sanctions a show, you know, and a club or a fair puts on the show and they get sanctioned, there are kind of tangible awards or ribbons and medallions and things of that nature that the APA makes available for folks that win different categories. And then they also have that set up to where they record the points for those people that are members of the APA. And so that's how you get into that. So in order to participate in the point system, you have to be a member.
Okay, perfect. Now, the point system, there's a point system. Wow, the first thing I thought of was, of course, NASCAR, even though I'm not a fan of NASCAR. Not that I'm against that, just never have had the time to sit on a Sunday afternoon and watch a three-hour race. So, you know, friends do, kind of exciting. But what the point system, I guess, bottom line, is to try to advance yourself kind of up the ladder. And what are some of the things as you meet points numbers, as you accumulate points, what are the goals there? I know somebody in the chat room mentioned, say, master breeder or master shower. Do you know some of the levels as you accumulate points that you can be as far as title?
Yes. They when you have a show and you have certain wins at specific levels, like you might, and it all starts with the class champions or reserve class champions, and then higher categories. Those are the categories that win points, and then you can start to accumulate those. You know, and it doesn't matter what you're showing. You know, if you win on a duck or if you win on a chicken at that level, then you earn whatever the appropriate points are that are allocated for that. And then you know, as you sort of gather your points together over time, the first plateau is the master exhibitor plateau, where you accumulate 100 points on any birds that you've shown.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the next level is the 1,000-point category, which is called the Hall of Fame exhibitor. And then we also for those people that earn lots of points in one particular breed or variety, there's a Grandmaster Exhibitor category, which is 100 points in that particular variety. So, you know, when I'm showing my Dominiques, if I win enough times to get 100 points on Dominiques, then I would be that Grandmaster Exhibitor in that case.
Perfect. And then I noticed that...
Well, I have a question on that. Well, Sam, I didn't realize that. So the Grandmaster Exhibitor is breed-specific. Is that right? Is that what you just said?
Really, yeah, it's breed and variety-specific. So if I'm raising White Plymouth Rocks or dark brown Leghorns, you know, something in that category specifically.
Okay, excellent.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think I heard some of our good friends talk about they have their son and daughter show, and so we're looking at, let me think what it was, they were looking at actually him not compete any longer in the youth show, I'm going to make sure I've got this correct, but start participating in the regular show so he could start and she could start accumulating points. I guess there's no points accumulated as far as the youth show is concerned. There, I guess apparently, because I think they're like about, he's about 9 years old, maybe coming up to 10. I guess there's no limit on when you can show in the, I guess, adult show of poultry. So, but I think they're going to have him start showing in the regular show versus the youth show so he can start accumulating points. Do I understand that correctly?
That's correct. The youth shows, you know, the junior show part of most poultry shows, a lot of times it's much more variable across the country in terms of how they categorize them and judge them. And so we, you know, the APA didn't set up any kind of point system for junior shows specifically. And so a junior member has to take out a regular membership and then compete for the points in the open shows to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Pat, do you have a question for Sam?
I do, Sam, and I'm going to make this as basic as possible. I mean, here I am. I've got my first trio or first little flock of three family chickens in the backyard, and they are so cool and they're so beautiful. Now, and I would like to take one of these to the show. Can I do that? I don't even know what breed they are. Maybe they're Splash or just Heritage Hybrids. But is there any provision or any show that just lets you say, here's a real cool bird and we're going to another way to phrase this might be, is there a showmanship class for adults?
Yeah, there really isn't for most of the shows. You'd want to take a look at whatever birds you have in your backyard, and it may be that you've picked up a specific breed or variety that would be able to be shown in a regular show, and you know it has a specific name. It could be a Barred Plymouth Rock, or it could be a Dominique, or you know, whatever those breeds and varieties would be. But if you picked up, for example, the ubiquitous Easter Eggers, which are kind of like Americanas, but they don't match the Americana standard, those wouldn't fit into the normal categories that we judge for the show, and they would if you entered them as one of the recognized breeds and they got judged,
they'd be disqualified.
Probably be disqualified. So
okay,
I will
have
say,
there been,
you know, one of the directions that some shows are going in now is to have a category that, you know, they basically have a backyard poultry show section where people can come in, and usually it's a reduced entry fee as well, but people can come in and bring whatever chickens they have in their backyard and show them in the backyard section. And they're not very many shows that are doing that now, but that you know, gives an opening for folks to bring whatever cool chickens they have in the backyard in, and at least have them looked at by someone. You know, they aren't judged against the same characteristics as the regular standard chickens would be, but you know, it gives them an opportunity to sort of learn what's it like to go to a show and take a chicken, and what's it all about, and then they can obviously go look at the regular standard bred chickens and say, gee, maybe I want to get a couple of real Rhode Island Reds as opposed to my hatchery stock that are kind of mixed. So.
Uh-huh. Well,
so what do we ask? I was going to say, what do we ask for? What is that particular portion of the show called? Just the backyard?
Backyard
poultry section.
Yeah, it really is. And,
okay, great.
You know, we had one of our 4-H clubs down here in Texas that got a show up and running, and then because they had so many people that were sort of in that category, you know, they just had a farm flock of chickens that they, you know, they didn't want to go out and buy, you know, purebred stock at
right.
that point. They just wanted to show what they had, and so that gave them an opportunity in the show, and they set it up for that particular show.
That's neat. Sam, that begets another question. I mean, we've got literally, I think, millions of people now are really interested, getting more and more interested in chickens, keeping them as pets as well as breeding, possibly. Is there any, have there been any discussions at the American Poultry Association in your officers' meetings or official meetings about having an adult showmanship class so that people could have a way to learn, even though maybe they're in their 60s and they're just wanting to, you know, take up a new hobby and have some structure to go to it?
Yeah, there really hasn't, and you know, it's just that our chicken game is the standard bred chicken game, and we're kind of going to hang on to that. I will say, and I wasn't familiar with all the details, but there was a show this last year in Arkansas where they had they did some sort of division along the lines of novice versus open, you know, seasoned veteran, you know, exhibitors, and they actually judged them grouped like that. And so there, in that case, there were adults and juniors that showed in the novice class, and there were also some juniors that showed in that, I guess the more seasoned or skilled class for their birds. And it was just an interesting way to kind of invite all kinds of people that had new experience with chickens.
Okay, we've got a question in the chat room, Sam, it's from Texas, and the question is: is it dangerous to your flock to bring chickens back and forth to a show?
There's always going to be some risk, and that's why the APA has a little section up on its website about biosecurity practices and so forth, and anybody that goes to shows should practice some sort of quarantine type of protocol when they bring the birds back for some period of time. There's usually, you know, at most shows there's very little danger of bringing back anything really serious. Obviously, because if we're exhibiting show chickens, we're taking really good care of them, and you know they're not going to be falling down dead at the show with disease. But still, there's always that element of risk, and so you know a good quarantine practice on returning from a show is a good thing to do.
I know I've had some breeders tell me if they buy a bird at a show to take home that they'll just give them a few drops of ivermectin. Just to kind of warm them before they even get them home or take care of whatever little buggers might be.
That can be one approach, but again, that ivermectin only really takes care of parasites in some
right.
way, shape, or form, and so viruses or things like fowl pox, which is going to be coming up here in the next couple of months as a problem. Any of the mycoplasma viruses. Those are all things that could be brought back from a show, and so you really want to segregate birds. And I guess the ideal way might be if you had a neighbor who was willing to let you keep a coop off site, away from your birds and flock for a while, just for a couple of weeks or so, until you can be sure that they didn't bring anything back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you can bring it back into the flock.
For those that that don't know or may not have heard, and because they're just getting started, there's the Bible, you might want to call it, of showing poultry, and that would be the standard of perfection. So mm-hmm. if someone actually purchases from the APA the standard of perfection, and they get that book, that would help them be able to identify in their backyard. Let's say they have just Rhode Island Reds. They want to go out there. They open up the standard of perfection, read about that particular breed, read about what the judge is actually you know, judging on, then that can help them actually pick out maybe their better breeds in their backyard or which
right.
one meets the standard of perfections best. So that may be a good first purchase if you're not sure what birds that you have are extra special or to learn about what would make those birds extra special. And then my understanding is the judges at those shows are judging based on the standard of perfection, which bird closest matches the bird that's in the standard of perfection as far as all of the requirements for that breed.
That's right. And certainly, you know, the experience we had at our State Fair of Texas last year is a good example where we had a number of young exhibitors, you know, where their family, you know, they were kids that were showing at the State Fair, and their family had bought birds 79 different places, you know, hatcheries and from local feed stores and so forth. And, you know, they got to bring them to the fair, and they were able to look and compare their birds. For example, one little girl had a set of Buff Orpingtons that she'd gotten from a hatchery. And they were not, you know, aside from the fact that they were buff and had a single comb and had white legs, that was, you know, they weren't very good Buff Orpingtons. They weren't big enough. And fortunately, we had some other exhibitors that had standard Buff Orpingtons that they could look at, and we could explain, you know, these are kind of the target that we're going for, and here's why yours are perfectly fine backyard chickens, but they're not kind of up to snuff in terms of, you know, the gauge that we measure against for regular Buff Orpingtons.
Mm-hmm. Well, that begets one more question, Sam, and that is, say I'm just a little homebody just getting into chickens, and I don't really want to invest in the whole standard of perfection, but I do have, say, Buff Orpingtons, and I want to see what there is. Is there any reference or any like on your website that would tell me what exactly the standard of perfection is for this breed, so I could compare it and see if my birds would meet it?
Yeah, there really isn't anything on our website yet that, you know, we haven't put any photographs or images up, you know, of standard birds. And, you know, some of that is, well, in order, if you really want to do that, you need to get the standard of perfection from us. But
okay.
I will say there are several websites out, you know, on the landscape that have available photographs and so forth of all kinds of chickens. And there's one in particular. It's www.feathersite.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
that's the one I always refer people to if they say, gee, I think I've got a Partridge Plymouth Rock, but I don't know what is it supposed to look like. And so I direct them there because they have a lot of good photographs, usually of reasonably good exhibition quality birds. And they also have a number of photos of many non-recognized breeds that are out there in Europe and across the world, and so it's kind of a neat online encyclopedia of chickens and ducks.
That is okay. Yeah, thanks for that reference, Sam. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. We're talking with Sam Brush, president of the American Poultry Association, and we'll be right back.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at mcmurrayhatchery.com
and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Our being the last Monday of the month is Sam Brush, the president of the American Poultry Association. So glad to have you on the show today, Sam. Good show so far. We're asking him really the top questions that a novice would ask if they're interested in getting backyard poultry. And I've got a really, I want to get make sure I get this question in. Not that it's bad or it's looked down upon, I guess, but it's just something that I've been attending as many shows as I could over the last, towards the end of last showing season and looking forward to attend many, many more this show season and broadcasting live on location. But I guess it's not a question. I guess it's a statement. And is this frowned upon, or is this very, very good? Is this could be a good opportunity or a good resource for people who want to look at showing poultry or get into showing poultry? And that is, let's say that I look at the Poultry Press, which is a great publication for showing poultry. And I subscribe to that, and I start looking for shows all across the country, and lo and behold, there's one an hour up the road from me. So I head up there this Saturday, and as I'm walking in, I walk through the sale lot, and there's all these folks. They've got their trailers and their trucks and their cages and their birds, and they know the history and the breeding family tree, if you will, of these chickens and the DNA and the whole nine yards. And this guy has what appears to be a beautiful trio of beautiful, let's just say, Cochins. And for what, let's just say, I don't know, $50 for the trio, and maybe 75, maybe 100, whatever the price may be. And you're like, you know, this might be a quick, maybe easy way to actually get into showing. He tells me all about these breeds and the champion bloodlines they have, and they look good to me. Maybe I'll just go ahead and buy this pair and take them home, or this trio. So I buy the trio, I take them home, and do a little bit of research, and then I want to show them the very next week. I find another show, maybe 2 hours from the house, and lo and behold, I just bought this trio at this show on Saturday. 7 days later, or I've entered, and I've met the deadline. Maybe it's 2 weeks later, and I take these and I go show. There's always that possibility that they may be truly beautiful birds, and I win grand champion and win that breed and the whole nine yards. Is that frowned upon, or is that maybe a good opportunity for someone to maybe they've never been into showing their backyard birds they've had for 4 or 5 years? Is that a good resource for someone to get started in showing backyard poultry, or to do something like that? Is it kind of frowned upon? And have you found people that do that?
Oh yeah, that unfortunately, the only real rule that the APA and ABA both have that speaks to that is that the exhibits have to be the bona fide property of the people that are exhibiting them. And so there's, mm-hmm. there's nothing that speaks to how long you've had them. And so there's a lot of kind of close to the edge nefarious behavior in terms of people that, that would go and buy, you know, an exhibition, a high quality exhibition bird and, you know, because they want to show it at the show a week later and win. And actually, you know, a number of years ago, we had some exhibitors that were shipping good quality birds all over the country. Those chickens had more frequent flyer miles than some of the people did. They would go, you know, they'd win a show in Georgia, and the next week they'd be out there competing and winning a show in Utah. And so it kind of went back and forth, you know, across the country. And, you know, it's not something we can really control. You know, those chickens don't come with little bills of sale or anything of that nature for the most part. And so, you know, if folks found out about it, they wouldn't, you know, maybe be too warm on the idea, but, you know, it certainly, you know, happens. And you know, it's, mm-hmm. The only comment that I'd make about the front end of that is that mm-hmm. you want to be sure you do your research beforehand, you know, and know a little bit about what a good exhibition quality cochin or whatever you're going to buy mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. so that you don't pay a high price and then have them disqualified at that next show. So.
I'm going to ask one more question then turn it over to Pat. Bottom line, no holes barred, what will get my bird disqualified when I show up to the show? When I first drive up, take my birds out, what are some things that will get my bird disqualified?
Good question.
Okay. Yeah, there are a whole host of things you know, that are listed, again, in the Standard of Perfection, many of them breed or variety specific. You know, in terms of where we have backyard people, you know, just becoming new exhibitors and coming to a fair, for example, like we had with our fair last year in Dallas, backyard people, a lot of times, in order to control their chickens and keep them in the backyard, they clip their wings. And that's actually one very basic first characteristic that would get a bird disqualified.
Okay.
And, you know, that the reason that is because the thought would be that if there was some disqualifying color or poor color on the wings, you know, exhibitors could cut them off and then it wouldn't be there. So that's why that's kind of a general disqualification. And then there are a number of physical attributes, you know, things like side sprigs, which are little points off of a single comb, mm-hmm. not off the top, they're off the side and kind of in places they shouldn't be. That's a disqualification. There are a couple others, you know, things like crooked feet, and where the whole foot is deformed and so forth. And, you know, then really basic things like, you know, if a breed is supposed to have a beard and it doesn't, that would be a disqualification in most cases. And, you know, there are just a whole host of other variety-specific color disqualifications.
So it sounds like really one of the first steps, pardon me, one of the first steps would be to purchase that Standard of Perfection, yeah. The book, because that's going to help you so much. It probably has information in there about how to prepare for a show, prepare your birds for a show. But if not, you can look at the particular breed and see what you know, all of the things that the judge is going to be looking for. Tell us, if you know, off the top of your head, for our listeners who now are getting ready for this show season, who may not have the Standard of Perfection, and it could help them so much with their showing career or as they're getting started and want to use it as a hobby. What? Tell us, number one, how can our listeners, number one, join the American Poultry Association, and two, how can they get a Standard of Perfection?
Okay. The joining part is easy. If you just send the appropriate membership dues to our secretary, Pat Horseman, who's in Pennsylvania, and we have the address is on our website and in our yearbook and 79 other locations, it seems. But regular membership, you know, would go to her, and then she'll send you your membership card and a little packet, you know, and the current yearbook that would be sent to new members. Mm-hmm. And so that's the easy part. And then the standard to perfection. We have a 2001 edition, which we still have a number of copies left. It's a hardcover color version that's currently on our website. It's $59 postpaid, you know, tax title and license. And then we also are on the cusp of having a new 2010 version of the standard come out, probably the end of the summer, probably in August. And so that'll be, I think it's going to be a little bit higher price, but it'll have a number of newer illustrations in color and some revised sections of the standard. And so that'll be available, you know, in that time frame. And also, you know, some of your new folks, if they don't want to go to the expense of getting a standard until they know that they really want to, you know, pursue this and really do chicken showing, poultry showing, they could see a lot of times there's a copy of the standard in the library, and most of the basic information about disqualifications and cuts for defects and the description have been in the edition since the 50s, you know, and most of it hasn't changed. And so they'd be able to maybe go to the library and pick one up and see if there's some information available that way.
Thank you. We're about to get cut off. We've got about 10 seconds left. Sam Brush, president of the APA, thank you very much for joining us today. We've got to run. Tune in tomorrow. We've got a great show and a great special guest. We'll see you next time.